They're outside the city and he's inside. He can't get out of the brink. But they won't always be outside the city. Eventually they'll make their way back in. I know because I've stolen every one of them before. She grabbed his arm. And what's worse, Logan is here now. I left him lying on the sidewalk about a week from now. He's going to find Nibs, and he'll tell him everything that happens in the future. We can't let him have that information and the stones. We have to get to the stones before he does. Hart frowned. There's no way to get through the brink without destroying it. Her eyes were wide, her expression unreadable, but he could tell she was thinking, turning over ideas in her mind. And then something clicked. Something shifted. Maybe there is, she told him, sounding strangely calm. Esta, I've explained this. I know. You told me that the brink was like a circuit, that taking the book through would short it out with the excess power. But there are ways to get through a circuit. There are ways to touch electricity. Look at the birds on the wires. You just can't be grounded. He shook his head, not understanding. Grounded? Maybe grounded is the wrong word. But you're worried that the power of the book would short out the brink, right? We just need to keep the book from disrupting the current of the brink. Something Professor Lachlan, Nibs, told me might help. Ether and time are the same thing. Why can't we use my affinity for time to block the book's power from disrupting the ether of the brink? Then it wouldn't overload the circuit, and maybe there wouldn't be any magical blackout. That might work, John Yu said, his voice thoughtful. It is not so different from what I do with light to disappear. I bend it around myself. If she could direct the ether of the brink around the book instead of through it...
You don't understand, Esther. That won't work.
Why not? If it's a circuit, then all we have to do is... He rested his hand on her arm, stopping her words.
It won't work because all that power isn't in the book anymore.
He swallowed hard, finally forcing himself to accept what he'd known ever since the voices had crashed into him in the Mysterium.
All that power is in me.
Her mouth dropped open. In you? He nodded, unable to speak, because he wasn't sure how long he'd be able to live with it inside him, how long he'd be able to control it.
So this is what you were hiding? John Yu asked, his voice dark.
He shifted, feeling vaguely guilty. John Yu had risked so much to help him.
I told you everything I could.
You should have told me everything, John Yu said, his voice carrying a note of anger that Hart had never heard before, not even that night when John Yu found him on the docks. Esta shook her head. It doesn't matter now. We need the stones. He looked at her more closely then, with her hair falling down around her face and her clothes rumpled beyond repair. It was probably certain death for the both of them if he went along with her mad plan. But with the book living inside of him, chipping away at him a little more every day, he already was a dead man. If her plan actually managed to work, maybe she could save them both. If not, he would happily take any number of minutes more he could in that crazy world, especially if they were minutes fighting with her.
You'll need to find Viola and let her know what happened, she said to John Yu.
We have some time before we catch up to when I left Logan. If you can keep him from getting to Nibs, that will buy us more. Because once Nibs knows that I'm back, he won't stop at anything to get the book. She turned back to Hart, her eyes already shining with determination. He won't know you didn't actually jump, and he won't know about the stones. That will give us an advantage, but even so, we're going to need every bit of luck to get this right.
We're going to need a hell of a lot more than luck, he muttered, his head still swirling at everything that had happened, all that she wanted to do. I will find Viola, and together we can keep your friend from Nibs, John Yu promised. We'll give you all the time we can.
But then what? Hart asked, still refusing to allow himself to hope. Then we unite the stones, take control of the book's power, Esta said. Hart frowned.
I'm not sure any one person should control it.
I'm not either, but I'm not willing to let Nibs or the Order be the ones to make that decision, she said. Are you?
I, for one, am not. John Yu stood and offered his hand to help Hart to his feet. He handed Hart a parcel that he took from inside his own coat. You go with Esta. I will see to things here. Hart hesitated for a moment. I owe you my thanks. For trusting me even when I didn't deserve it. For helping me. You could have let me fall. I did it for Dolph, John Yu said. Do not forget your promise and do not prove me a fool. And with a small bow of his head, he disappeared, leaving Hart and Esta alone on the bridge. Hart watched the place where John Yu had just been, and after a moment he unwrapped the parcel and put on the shirt that it contained. So you'll help me? Esta asked as he buttoned the shirt. You'll show me how to get through the brink using the book? It was no longer morning, Hart realized. The sun had just set and the whole skyline was aflame with the glow of twilight reflecting off the buildings. It looked like a city on fire, a dangerous and dazzling place. He tucked in the shirt, straightened the sleeves. You shouldn't have come back, he told her. I didn't have much of a choice, she said, and her golden eyes were clouded with pain. What you're asking me to do, what you're planning, it could be the death of us both. If we don't, it could be the death of everyone. Nibs cannot get those stones, and the Order can't either. And what if we make everything worse? The voices in his mind were louder now, humming their promises and threats. They knew what she was. They wanted her. He rubbed the back of his neck, a feeble attempt to subdue the thing that now lived inside of him. We still have to try. He looked once more at that far side of the bridge, at the world he had come to believe he would never reach. But Esta is back, the voices whispered. So maybe, just maybe. There was no talking her out of it, no turning her away from this course. But there was a part of him that didn't want to. He held out his hand. If you're ready. She looked up at his open palm and shook her head as she pulled herself to her feet. Nice try. But then she slipped her arm through his, and together they began walking toward the cold power of the brink. The Last Magician was written by Lisa Maxwell and read by Candace Thaxton. Editing and post-production by Common Mode, Paul Fowley, Technical Director. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. The Last Magician is available in print from Simon Pulse.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.